Church, I'm glad you're here today. It's always good to see you. And it's that time of the year where I feel obligated to remind all of us we are headed into the holiday season. It gets longer and longer every year, I think. We are headed into the holiday season. And we've got Thanksgiving and the 4 weeks of Christmas and all the craziness that will ensue. And our reminder is a couple things. Number one, you'll be spending a little bit more time with your loved ones. Let them live. Show mercy. All right? If we can't show mercy in our own homes and with our own families, if our faith is not strong enough for our own families, it's really not real. So be merciful, be loving, and yes, those that test you, those that drive you crazy, and those that you're counting down the hours to either leave their house or have them leave your house, just enjoy the time you have with them. Just enjoy it. Because that time is not going to be forever in this world. So be good with your families. And number two, remember in this season that we don't enjoy it and we don't celebrate it and we don't give to others out of scarcity. We give out of the fullness of God. We give out of the fullness of God. So don't worry about if there's going to be enough or if we'll have something for tomorrow. I'm really just saying this so my family understands when I ask for that really expensive Christmas gift. Yes. All right. So we're going to sing. What number, Lance? Mission accomplished today. Mission accomplished. Just don't give out of fear, because you know you're going to have a lot of extra people asking of you this time of year. And a lot of us are going to be in a giving mood, and we're going to give more. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Be generous. God provides. If he's got to plunder some Egyptians to fill your sack, that's all right. He'll do it. God provides. Okay? So let's keep our faith with our family members and our loved ones, and let's be generous to everybody around us. Because everybody goes through the holiday season, and unfortunately, a lot of people are a wreck this time of year. So let's not be a wreck, all right? Let's be filled with love. Let's be filled with grace and mercy. And let's just enjoy the celebration and just remember how much God has blessed us and taken care of us. All right, let's go to our Father in prayer, and then we'll get into the Word. Our Father in heaven, we are so very grateful to the life that you have called us to. And this morning, as we look at your scriptures, I pray that you encourage our hearts and give us faith for the journey. Lord, we don't know how many days that we have in the flesh. And we're really, honestly, not that concerned with it, because we know that our souls, who you have made us to be and who we really are, we know our souls are safe with you. Whether that be here, whether that be in heaven, whether that be now or for all eternity, you have given us your Son to tie all those things together. And so just as last week that we saw how many things were given to us in the heavenly places, I pray, Lord, that today we will better understand how to stay connected to where you are and what you're doing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Last week we looked at being with Jesus for all eternity in the heavenly places, and we also saw that our existence right now, our lives right now, and who we truly are is in the heavenly places with God. That's where Jesus was raised to be. That's where all of God's blessings exist, and that's where we have been raised to be. And so whether it is thinking about heaven and the future or our life now, the only difference between the two and their connection, the connection that God has made between heaven and earth, We call that connection faith. The Bible calls that connection faith. And so this morning I want us to take a closer look at our faith so that we will truly live what we have been called to live. And that is whether here or there we are the same. Whether today or tomorrow we are the same. And that's the amazing thing about faith. The amazing thing about faith is that God opens up where He is to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is that God has made that distance or that what seems impossible of where God is and where we are, and He has brought those things together. We're going to take a look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 that talks so much about faith. And right in the first verse, it's going to be defined for us. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All right, so Hebrews chapter 11 gives this wonderful picture and definition of faith, and it starts, and he says, look, this is what faith is. Faith is being absolutely sure of what we hope for. Being sure of what we hope for. Knowing in our hearts 100% it is going to happen. What I am looking forward to, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And faith is being fully convinced by things that we cannot see with our eyes, but know in our hearts to be true. So we are hopeful. Our faith makes us hopeful, and our faith makes us convinced. I mean convinced. Not shaking, not wavering, not wondering, not questioning. Our faith makes us convinced. And that's such a difficult thing because from time to time our faith wavers, doesn't it? I mean, we know what we're supposed to trust. We know we're supposed to trust God's word. We know we're supposed to trust His promises and His blessings. And then sometimes out of nowhere, life just comes up and hits us, doesn't it? And then we take our focus off of the Lord and off of His promises, and we look at the problem. We look at the issue. We look at the pain. We look at the suffering. We look at the worry, and we can't help but get drugged down into it, right? I mean, it's that same story of Peter when he was walking on the water. And it is, and it's a wonderful example for us because it happens to us. Because we're going along and we're following God and our eyes are right on Him. And we can do anything. We're walking by faith. We're walking with Jesus. We've got this. And then the wind starts howling, right? And the waves start crashing around our feet. And maybe my knee got a little wet on that one. And I'm supposed to be walking on the water with Jesus. I'm not supposed to be getting splashed around the hemline. And so we look. Oh. And as soon as we look, we take our eyes off of our focus. We start to sink, don't we? Wait a minute. I mean, I was just going along fine with Jesus, but now I've actually taken an honest look at the problems, and these are real. I'm not making this stuff up. This is bad. This is not good. See, church, our faith, the only difference between us being with Jesus in the heavenly places, in the spiritual places for all eternity, and you and I living right now, the same spiritual realities are occurring right now. It is our reality. The only difference between today and the day that Jesus comes back for us is our faith. That is the only difference. But that makes all the difference because it connects everything. When Jesus comes back, it should be for us a reunion. It will be for us a surprise. And it will also be for us a comfort. And yet I hope for you that you use your time in the flesh, walking by faith, so well that when Jesus comes, it will be a reunion. It will be a greeting of someone that you know well. Jesus has come to earth so that we can know him. So that walking by faith is not just you and I coming together saying, well, we got this great religion and we got these things that we know we should live like this and we know we should live like that. God has called us out of this world. He has called us out of this world and he has brought us to himself. And we can't always see it, but we trust it. And not only do we trust it, but we are fully convinced by it. We orient our lives around the truth of Jesus Christ, do we not? And that's what Noah did. Noah, he'd never seen a drop of rain before. Never had seen rain. And God said, I'm going to need you to build a boat. Well, better yet, you're going to need to build a boat because a flood's coming. Flood? That's right. And you got to prepare. You have to prepare. And Abraham, when God calls him and said, hey, Abraham, look, I know you're a hometown guy and this is all you've ever lived in and this is all you've ever known, but I'm going to need you to leave the safety of your family's home and I'm going to need you to come to this land over here and you're just going to walk around all the days of your life and you're going to live in tents and you're just going to kind of wander and you're going to be surrounded by a bunch of strangers. So come on. And Abraham said, well, okay. Now, church, look, here's you and I, because sometimes you and I are called into our lives looking different than how they looked yesterday. Sometimes we are put into situations just like Abraham in which God says, hey, now I'm going to need you to trust me and walk with me to this barren place. And we kick and scream, don't we? Now, look, I'm just going to get personal for a second, okay? How many of us have been called into a chapter of life that we would not have chosen for ourselves? How many of us have lost a loved one or a spouse where God says, I'm going to need you to walk with me into this wilderness, and you're going to have to trust me in these steps. But Lord, you took away my safety. Lord, you took away what I hoped in and what I trusted in and what I felt comfortable in. And God says, I know. And you've got me. Walk with me. And how many of us have changed a job or lost a job? And we thought, well, I knew where I was going and I knew my purpose and I knew where I was headed. And God said, yeah, we're going to go this way. Trust me. Trust me. I remember when Sunny got sick, when she was diagnosed with cancer, and I knew we were going to be okay, but I let her kind of dictate, okay, how are we going to tackle this, dear? How are we going to go into this new thing? And when she shared everything with me, she said, this is how we're going to tackle this. We're just going to walk with God like we always have, and we're going to see what glory He will bring about through this situation. And we just went straight to praise and glory. Now, were there difficult times? Absolutely. Were there uncomfortable times? Absolutely. Were there painful times? Yes. But going straight to following God in faith and saying, all right, God, what glory are you going to bring from this? It made so much difference, and it really just made that journey so much easier. Because we just trusted Him. We just trusted Him. We didn't go back and forth of, well, is He going to make things okay, or is He not going to make things okay? I mean, this, and this could happen. Or we could just get up today and be thankful for what has happened and excited for what's going to happen. And all these stories of faith, we learn each and every day to walk by faith because we know in verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because if you would draw near to God, you have to believe that He's real. You have to believe that He's real. You can't see Him. You got to believe in Him anyway. And you have to believe that He rewards those who seek Him. We believe in a God that we can't see. But as Steve prayed this morning, we see His reflection, don't we? We see God's reflection. We see God's reflection in His creation. So many people look at creation and they just see the chaos, right? They see the wind and the waves. And yet, how often are we so distracted that we don't see the sunrise or the sunset or the flower or the beauty around us and the perfected things that God has created? We believe that He exists, and we believe that He rewards those who believe Him. We're all in this, we're all in this for selfish reasons, are we not? We're all followers of God because we believe that He's going to reward us for following Him. We want what Mark has read from Timothy, Paul's letter to Timothy. We want that crown of righteousness. We want the finish line in the end for Him to say, good job. You did what I asked. And here's the spoils. We absolutely do. We do, church, and there is nothing wrong with that. That's not a bad thing. But what I want us to realize and understand that the greatest gift of the spoils is the one who provides the spoils. You remember, and maybe it's fresh for you, but do you remember Christmas morning when the kids opened up that one gift, that one difference maker? You know, that one present that it just made them just go crazy over? And they might have hugged the gift, and they might have thrown it up in the air, and they just might have, and just react. I hope you have a fun Christmas reactor. We do too. It's Carson's brother. No, it wasn't Carson. Carson played it cool. Oh, thanks. But Garrett's our Christmas reactor. I mean, he just hugged it, threw it up in the air, he ran around the room, so much excitement. And then you know what he did after all that excitement? He came to us and hugged our necks with that same gusto. Because no matter what good gifts God provides, the giver of the gifts is the greatest gift of all. And so we walk by faith and we trust the Lord. We enjoy the things He gives us, but we always give Him thanks. And we always recognize that He is the one who provided all these things. Now, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 13 says something interesting as we carry on in the story. These all died in faith. Well, there's a real pick-me-up, isn't it? All of these wonderful, wonderful giants of faith, they all died. Okay. Not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had the opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city.
By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who has received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned and they were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. And here's why. Since God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. These heroes of faith lived their whole lives separated from the fulfillment of their promises. God was bringing them, along with us, to Jesus. And that is why, and that is why he is to be called the founder and perfecter of our faith. He is the one that is the foundation of our faith. He is the reason why we believe. He is the reason for all of our hope. He makes our faith complete. And church, we too, surrounded by all these witnesses, we have a race to run. We have a journey to live. We have a life of faith that we are called to. We don't know how far away it may take us. We don't know through what circumstances or fiery trials that God will hold our hands and guide us through. We don't know what it will look like, but we will only get through with our faith in Him. And so everyone before us, all those that we read about in the Bible and all those amazing stories that we love, are people that were hoping that God would come through for him.
And God says they were all looking forward to the one that we look back upon. And the good news is that God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And the good news that when we bring the spiritual places, when we bring the place of God and connect it with our place here, all this done beautifully in the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who comes from God, who was with God in the beginning, who through all things were made through and for and because of, that man, Jesus Christ, comes and lives life just like we live. And he walked by faith. And he trusted that God was with him. And he trusted God's promises for him. And he gave his life for the Father and for all of the Father's children. And having done so, the Father accepted his life and he restored him. He gave him the gift of his faith. Church, we have to run to win. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We have got to run to win this race of faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I don't run aimlessly. I don't box as someone beating the air, but I discipline my body and I keep it under control so that after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. For I don't want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea and all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them and the rock was Christ. The rock was Christ. Jesus Christ was leading God's people even way back when. And Jesus came to earth and he led his disciples in the flesh so that they could actually see him and walk on water and see resurrection and see healing and feedings and miracles. And then Jesus would tell them, I'm going away. As good as this is, it's going to be better. And you and I live under that promise of better. That promise of better, of walking by faith, of being filled with the Spirit, of being filled with the presence of God that is not constrained to one man, but is filling all of us as we together are united in faith and being built up as a household for the living God. A walking, breathing, living tent for God to be happy and pleased to live in. And so he's with us at all times. He's with us wherever we go. He's going in front of us. And so just as Israel was walking through the wilderness and they looked up and they saw the smoke. And they looked up at night and they saw the fire. And they were comforted each and every day. And they said, God's right there. He's right there in front of us, leading our steps. He knows where he's going and he knows where we're going. And yet they didn't trust him completely, did they? No. No, they didn't. In fact, every way that God has shown himself to people throughout all eternity, there's always been some that said, no thanks. I'm going to try this other way. Well, look what it says in 10 verse 6. Now these things took place as examples for us that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did. And 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure. Those in the past were given the opportunity to follow Jesus, just as we have been given. And we see the outcome of those who do not live by faith. Those who let go of their faith before they cross the finish line. And so it's written down for us, idolaters, the sexually immoral, the ones that put Christ to the test, the ones that grumbled. Where are we going? What are we doing here anyway? Why am I following Jesus? What's the point of all of this? Where is this all going to lead? Why hadn't he already done it yet? We are giving their example and we see their destruction so that we will not fall into temptation to do the same things. Keep your faith. Run your race. Because the outcome of your faith is far greater than any temporary achievement or trophy or payment or house or job or anything that we could acquire here. What is waiting for us with the Father in heaven is greater and weightier in glory than anything in all creation. So we are instructed by the outcome of their lack of faith. We'll finish it in 2 Timothy chapter 4 that Mark read for us. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul, I guess he puts a nice little bow on all this for us today. We are encouraged to fight the good fight. Look, I know some days are a fight. Some days it just seems like an uphill battle. Some days it just seems like we're beating our heads against the wall. Some days we're just like, a life won't give me a break. Or God gets us through one difficult chapter and we take a breath and we think, oh good, I can, oh no. I don't know about you, but for me, how I'm tempted is God has given me faith for the great big things. And I get hit in the kneecap by the little stuff. Drives me crazy. Here's a disease for your family to deal with. You bet! Here's an annoying person that wasn't nice to you. Ow! That's my cross to bear. I don't know why. It's the little stuff that gets me. But we are encouraged to finish the race. God has put you on a path following Jesus. God has put you there, and you know what? Some days it's a steeplechase. You know what a steeplechase is? For some reason, some people took a track, you know, the thing you run around the football field, and they put hurdles in it. And you think, oh, hurdles, I've seen hurdles. Yeah, but these hurdles are big, and they have puddles on the other side. Sometimes life is like that. We're running, we're following Jesus, and you're like, hey, whoa, what's that thing in the path? And then you think you've cleared it. Oh, is that a wet sock? I'm going to be walking around with a wet sock all day. I'm probably not going to be able to find any reason to praise God today because look at my sock. You believe how wet my sock got today? Are you still talking about that wet sock? Well, yeah, because it's still wet. Yeah, but you're out of the puddle. But my sock's wet. Well, then it'd just be cold. Finish the race. Keep the faith. Keep looking to the one that can't be seen. Keep living for the one that has provided everything that you need. Church, we have all the stories, and that's why we continue to go back to them, because we are a forgetful people, right? We are a forgetful people. You ever been mad before you got to work in the morning? We are a forgetful people. You start the day, and today's going to be a good day, and I'm going to dedicate it to the Lord. And what are all, who let all the idiots out at 7:55? How did they all get out at once? What's going on? I know. Keep your faith, run your race.
and finish. Finish, because that's what God's looking for, because he rewards those of faith. All that we can't see and all that we can, he's brought together. He's made it one in Jesus Christ. So be one with Christ. Be one with Christ. And when you are one with Christ, when your eyes are so focused upon him, you can't see the waves and you're not hurt by the storm. Because the only thing that matters is Jesus. And you're getting closer, and you're getting closer, and you're getting closer. And one of those days, we're going to look up, and he's just going to be right there. And your eyes are going to see what your hearts have always known to be true, that there is one Lord, there is one God, and there is one Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. You put your faith in him, now do it again. You put your faith in him, do it again. You're going to mess up, put your faith back in him, and do it again. Keep running your race.